Hey, this is H1. We're going to be running it back with another episode talking about chess knowledge, chess wisdom, chess understanding. And the title of this episode should be, probably, unless I forget it, I don't know, or unless it's grammatically incorrect, but it should be, what do I feel about chess opening tricks and traps? All right, chess opening tricks and traps. Now, I wanted to talk about this because I did a survey a long time ago, and somebody asked me to talk about my chess opening tricks and traps. And I probably have a different view about it now than I did before, and I wanted to lead you on this journey, this path, where I'm going to take you in this episode, okay? So, just sit back and relax as I talk about what are opening tricks and traps. We're going to be talking about why are opening traps important to learn, and why did I stop using opening traps, and why should you too? So that's what we're going to be going over today. Hopefully you enjoy this episode as I pour out my heart and knowledge to you folks. Okay. All right. Are you good? Hopefully you good, because, you know, it is late at night and I wanted to get this episode out, and I'm like really desperate right now. I'm really desperate of just putting my all in this season. Plus two, I'm kind of upset that the Chiefs lost yesterday. And if people hear this episode in the future, it's 2022 and the Chiefs lost to the Bengals, and you know, that's a different story. Whatever. Let's continue on to the next segment.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What are opening tricks and traps? What are they? Now, if you knew, then you might be surprised that these things exist. But if you've been playing chess for a while, like intermediate, novice player, then you might be at a moment where you hate tricks and traps, because it's impossible to know every single one, right? There's still some that I don't even know. I was looking up some information about this topic, and I've seen some names that I haven't even heard before. And it's mostly because I haven't played like most of these openings in a while, but I digress. Let's talk about the meaning of chess opening tricks and traps. What are they? What is the definition of this? Well, chess traps are moves that tempt a chess opponent to play a losing move. Traps are common in all phases of the game, especially in the opening, but some traps have occurred often enough that they have acquired names. Now, what are these names exactly? Well, let's go down the rabbit hole of chess names, chess trap names. Because if you didn't know, everything in chess has a name. Every opening, every move that you play, every square on the board has a dang name. Even the center squares, e4, e5, d4, d5. And if you disrespect those names, then catch me outside. How about that? Okay, let's go over some of these names right quick. You probably heard of them. One of them is called the Noah's Ark Trap, the Legal Trap. The third one, let me see, the Cambridge Springs Trap. So we're going in the hot tub now? Is that what we're doing? Like, where we get this from? We got the Alaska Trap. You already know where that came from. The Rubinstein Trap, the Siberian Trap. And these are real names. Look them up. Look them up. There's a trap that I don't ever know how to spell. That I don't ever know how to say, so I'm just going to spell it out. It's F-A-J-A-R-O-W-I-C-Z. Like, I don't know how to say that. I'm gonna attempt it right quick. It's called the Fajaro Weeks Trap. Yeah. That's what it's called. And then we got the Blackborn trap. And I know that one. I know that one definitely. But I just wanted to illustrate how many traps there are. And you're going to have to learn some of these traps just to get past the novice phase and get past over 1,000. Especially when you're dealing with chess.com online play and over the board chess. It's very embarrassing to lose with the trap, of course, in an actual actual tournament on a chessboard. Have you ever lost in like 8 moves at an actual chess tournament? Well, it's horrible. Let me explain right quick. So this is how it feels. You're at a chess tournament. It's probably the first round, the worst ones, because you don't know what opponent you're facing. So that first opponent could be like a grandmaster and you wouldn't even know it. So you sit at the table, you got your opponent in front of you, and you play your first move so confidently, right? And you play your second move, and maybe you have that itch. And some people have that itch where they play moves really fast and hit the clock or whatever. So you can have that itch of just playing your moves like regularly. Until your opponent says checkmate out of nowhere within 8 moves. And then you look at the board and realize, oh snap, what happened? You get the tournament official over and they confirm that it's checkmate. And then they say, go to the notation board. And guess what? You have to set up your board, stand up in a super silent room, right? Super silent room. Everybody's still, you know, you hear chess pieces, but it's mostly silent. And you look at all these staring faces, and they're looking at you like, oh, we got one, boys. We got one. Because everybody knows the people who lose that quickly first either fell for a chess trap, scholar's mate, fool's mate. It's one of them. They fell for one of them, and now you're the spectacle. Now people know who's going to win against, that you're going to be the loser. And it's embarrassing in that moment. It doesn't mean that you're a bad player, because you might just fall for a trap that you just haven't seen before. But it's still irritating. It's irritating looking at all the eyes, assuming that you suck, right? And nobody wants to suck at chess. And that's why it's good to look up traps. Now, I went on a tangent. Definitely wasn't on the outline that I have, but let's get into the next subject right quick. So, traps are usually used by beginners. Now, I remember using the Blackborn Shilling trap as black a lot. And that was back in the days where I used to play e4, and as black I would play e5. Not realizing that I was getting into a whole bunch of tactical mess that I didn't know at the time. And I didn't study openings that much at the time either, because I was a young lad that didn't know much and didn't know how to approach the game yet. Remember, I was still on my PlayStation 2 type of stuff, right? This was after I stopped playing the Double Fee and Kettle opening. So this was the very first opening trick I learned in chess. And it took me a while to even realize that there was opening tricks, because I was playing the Double Fee and Kettle like for the first year of me playing chess. And when I realized this, I was like, hey, this is pretty easy. This is dope, cuz, right? Yeah, I was like, this is tight. I get to win a game really quickly. And not even have to face them in the middle game or even play the end game. No stress, baby. I'm just like, you know, I'm up here wiping off the dust off my shoulders because it was so clean. And then looking at the disappointment of my opponent's eyes, because that's what chess is all about. And I was realizing, wow, if I can just get this off every single time, I could be a grandmaster in no time. And this was like young H1 speaking, okay? This was young H1 that didn't know about the world yet. Because usually, people, and you know, at this moment, I was like 10 or 11, and I was thinking that I knew everything, which all teenagers think about, and you really don't. So, yeah, I was pretty stubborn at the time. And I did obtain quick wins. I used them more and more at the libraries too. At the library sessions that I would play just random people, I would use them at different schools that I went with P Money to, and even tried using the opening against weak computers, which, like I said before, Chessmaster had that dang monkey in the beginning. The software did. It had that monkey, and I loved playing that monkey because I took every single piece, and it was the whole story, and I used that trap against them. And then, you know, it got to a certain point where I would get up the ranks, and then they wouldn't fall for it anymore on the Chessmaster. But they still fell for it in person. You know, the real people, not the dang AI computers that want to take over our souls, right? So when I started facing tougher opponents in real life, at real tournaments, and even on online play like chess.com, when I was facing tougher opponents, they wouldn't fall for the same dang traps anymore. They wouldn't fall for the tricks. And I love playing tricks. I was like a dang magician on the chessboard. And I was frustrated. I was a little black kid, and I was frustrated on this whole game. And I was like, dang, I don't want to play the middle game or the end game. And then as I explored different openings, because I wanted to learn more traps, I fell for more traps from my opponents. Then something boiled down inside of me. The older that I got, and the hatred for traps boiled inside of me. It wasn't no stomach problems, you know. My insides were fine, you know, but it was the hatred that was growing from my intestines, right? It was growing inside of me, just almost coming out, but not exactly yet. It just stayed at the dang Adam's apple, right? And I began to rebel against these chess traps. So luckily, the openings that I started to learn how to play only had a few traps for me to avoid. And I got to actually enjoy playing the chess game. But I do feel for all the E4 players in the world, because, you know, you gotta play against the Evans, you gotta play against all these gambits, learn all these gambits, and learn all this theory with these E4 players. And I feel for you as a D4 player. I do feel for you. But at the same time, you chose that life. And I just started going down a path of just avoiding that crap, avoiding all the traps, and just learning a few, because I'm gonna get into like why it's important to learn about traps, because there is one in the Catalan that is kind of a trap. It's a good trap because it's not really a bad trap, and there's two big differences from a good trap and a bad one, which I will be discussing in the next segment. H1, you just got done roasting traps. Now, why are opening traps important to learn? Why is it important to learn? Why should I learn it if you hate it, H1? Well, you have to learn about these traps. You have to dig deep inside and study this crap. Because if you don't study it, you're just going to fall for them. And in chess, you have to be ahead of your opponent all the time. And learning these traps will keep you ahead of your opponent and predict their moves, because you're at a certain stage right now. And if you're under, like, let me see, like the rating 1000, if you're under that rating, or at least like 1200, if you're under 1200, then you have to learn this stuff, or you're going to fall for it, and you're going to be going back down on the rating list. All right. So for you to improve past a beginner level, you have to be a little bit decent in opening traps so that you can succeed. And as I said, most beginners use opening traps to get a quick win. So for you to play a full game, you need to be prepared, because preparation is key in chess. If you're not prepared, then you're not being like Scar, because Simba's gonna come out of nowhere and take the throne from you. All right, you should have got the job done when you had the chance. You didn't see the results, and you could have been king of the dang world, but you decided to let Simba go, hang out with a baboon and a dang rat, and come back and take your throne. You let him take your throne. And so that's pretty much what you got to do. You got to make sure that you're successful with the hyenas, right? You got to make sure that you're successful. And plus, you have to learn how to avoid them too. And that's a crucial skill to do. How can you learn how to avoid them? Well, I don't know all the chess opening traps, but I know all of the chess opening traps in my specific openings that I play. Like, for example, I play the Catalan, and I know a whole bunch of traps if they decide to play the open Catalan rather than the closed Catalan. So I would say whatever your main opening is with the white pieces, and whatever defenses you have with the black pieces, check diligently for tricks so you don't fall for them. All right? And maybe you just got to do a little bit of Googling, or you're probably just one YouTube video away from knowing all the traps in that opening. But you have to learn them. And not only do you have to research them like a normal person, you know, you can sit down and relax and research them, you know, probably put your phone somewhere else so that you don't have the distraction of getting on TikTok or like Instagram or whatever, so that you can actually study. And I might be talking about that pretty soon, like how to study chess and how to be concentrated and not distracted with outside things, because chess is really good at like just keeping you focused on one thing. We need to get back in the habit of actually doing one thing. For example, I'm on a tangent right now. I'll get back to chess in a minute. I've got into a habit where every time I eat food, I have to either be watching something else or doing something else. I never just enjoy my food, right? It's pretty crazy how that happens. I never thought about just enjoying my food. Not that I'm going to just do it pretty soon or right after I say this, but I'm just saying you have to sit down and actually study chess. What do you think Bobby Fischer did to get to the point to where he was at that moment? And what do you think Magnus Carlsen is doing to get to the point of where he is today? He's dang near been world champion for a decade now. And recently, he just won the Tata Steel Championship. I think like 8 times. This is his 8th time winning the Tata Steel Championship. If you want to fact check me, you can, you know, just message me and be like, hey, H1, you're probably wrong about that. I'm not going to say for sure that I'm right about that, but I'm pretty sure that I just read an article about that. Okay? But it takes time to build that knowledge, and you have to actually sit down, relax, and not be distracted, right? And so that's what you got to do. And after you study, you know what you got to do after that? Play some games, learn from experience going against those traps. Maybe set something on a computer where you can do that trap, or have a friend help you out to how to defend against something the right way. Or there's stuff that you could do, and you can do it for free on leechess.org too, just to give you a little hint on how you can set that up for free. There is a grandmaster that said it is possible to become a grandmaster on leechess.org with all their software capabilities that they have on that website. So I would just use that. Or if you want something more efficient, I would use chess.com. There are two big differences between them, but hey, that's a different episode. So, you know, let's just move on to the next segment.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This is the waiting room segment. Chess Quotes by H1. And the quote of today is, strategy requires thought. Tactics require observation. Max Yu. Thank you for listening. Now back to the podcast. All right, we are going to go into my favorite segment of this part and talk about why did I stop using opening traps and why should you too? Now, let me just explain this first. They're horrible if you're in a bad position and you try to do an opening trick and your opponent doesn't fall for it. So you don't want to set yourself up for failure. Usually with some opening traps, the problem is you don't follow the principle to develop your pieces before planning an attack. So what happens is you do the opening trap, right? And you kind of hope, which is a bad thing to do with chess, because you don't want to hope, you want to just succeed, not by trickery, but by your own talent. But you hope that your opponent falls for your dang trap, and it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, and he already knew it, and he's a tougher opponent. So since he didn't fall for the trap, you're nervous now. Your opponent is like, man, this guy or girl sucks, and they need to get their skills together. And then you're like, oh man, that was my only trick up my sleeve, and now none of my pieces are developed because I just decided to just attack my opponent with just a queen and a knight and thought that that would be sufficient enough for me to get the knight and queen checkmate, and I thought I was good, but now I'm not good because I realized that my opponent knows their stuff, and I don't know what to do now. I didn't learn anything else. And so that's the situation that you don't want to be in. Now, like I explained in the Catalan, there are rare occasions where you can still have a solid position without threatening a trick, but like I said, those are rare for a reason. And you're going to have to find your own rare tricks in your openings. And that's why it's good to study openings. Not as important as end game and middle games, middle game principles, but it is good to have decent knowledge in the opening. Now, something else that I want to talk about, and I kind of talked about it in my story, but your mentality of the game changes. And instead of thinking about the three phases of the game, you're only thinking about the opening phase, which is pretty bad if you're just thinking about the opening phase. If you're not thinking past 12 moves, then you already failed, because you should already have your opening lined up before you even played the dang game or played the game, right? And you play the game, and you're to the middle game, right? 15 moves afterwards, and then you realize, oh crap, what am I supposed to do now? They didn't fall for this trick. What happened? Now I gotta play a game that I thought that I could win before 15 moves? This is nuts. You're not gonna expect me to do that. And then your first move is like blundering a piece. So you're too focused on the opening, and you shouldn't forget about the important phase of the game, which is the end game. You don't want to lose sight of the big picture. Remember, we have to get a winning position. And in that winning position, after we get it, we got to succeed in checkmating our opponent. And focusing only on the opening, if your opponent is well versed in the opening, you got to plan something after that to overwhelm your opponent to get that winning position. Now, focusing on tricks is going to set you back from improving because you're not following chess principles. Like I said before, you're not developing your pieces, you're not castling, you're not attacking the center, you're not, there's a lot of things you're just not doing. And you got to focus on chess principles and lay that out as the foundation. Remember, real games don't usually begin with a material imbalance. Nobody should be an outright favorite in the first eight moves of the game. So, if you try to trick within the eight moves of the game, right, and it fails, usually the computer has like a little spike where it's like -3 or +5 after the trick is done. That shouldn't happen within the first 12 moves. There shouldn't be like a huge spike within the first 12 moves of the game, especially in the chess engine. That's how you can know that a trick or a trap is just insufficient and you should stop playing that garbage opening. And once you realize that, it's freeing, right? Because now you can move on. And that's what H1 wants you to do. Wants you to just move on to bigger and better things instead of wasting your time learning all about these chess tricks that's not going to improve your game. I don't want you wasting years of your life, months of your life, even weeks of your life if you're listening to this point now on chess tricks and traps when there are more important things to be learning about to be a better player, especially if you're competing, if you're in the competitive, if you're competing competitively in chess. You need to move on from this immediately and move on to bigger and brighter things. Like, come on now. You got this. You're good at doing this already. You enjoy playing chess, so why end it at the first five moves? Why end it with a scholar's mate? Stop playing the scholar's mate and play a real game of chess. Those things is just going to hinder you from success. Now, another thing that why you should stop using opening traps is your endgame skills will suffer. So, you're not going to have any real endgame experience, right? You're not going to be able to play until that point, and you're not going to be able to use any endgame techniques. So, in the long run, even if you do win most of your games in opening traps, your in-game techniques is definitely going to affect you in the long run. And the tricks only last for so long before you have to play a full game. So remember, tricks only last for so long until your talent have to come out. One last thing I would like to talk about is, when you do opening tricks or traps, you'll delay learning from mistakes you can learn from. If you're not learning from your mistakes, then that's bad. That's not good, because here's the thing. The best way to get better at chess is to learn from your deep mistakes so you don't do it again. And if you're learning from the trap that you tried to pull off, which there is nothing to learn from that because you already know what the root problem is. It's the trap and trick. If you don't cut that off and keep on doing it, you will never be successful in chess.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
So there you go. It's ended with H1 again. Hey, hopefully you enjoyed it. I appreciate every single one of you. Hey, that was a pretty cool episode talking about chess opening tricks and traps. Hopefully you have like a clear understanding on it, and maybe I've changed your mind a little bit if you had some like discrepancies in your head, because I think that I'm like your mind is the Rubik's Cube and I'm just making all the colors match. That's what I want to do, and I want you to have like a clear pathway onto being the best chess player you want to be. So come back when I post another episode. Make sure that you follow to stay notified about the episodes. Hey, thank you for choosing H1 today, and peace.